Welcome to Cascade Connects, a podcast focusing on the people and events in the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Here is your host, CCC Commissioner Robert Cashel.
Welcome to this edition of Cascade Connects. I am your host, Conference Commissioner Rob Cashel, and very excited about today's program. We are joined by Emily Hoggood. Emily is a former student athlete at the College of Idaho and just doing some amazing stuff that we're going to get to later. But Emily, thank you so much for joining the program.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Rob. I was really excited to get your message, and it's amazing to hear about Cascade Connects and obviously following the conference over the years and C of I. I really appreciate you keeping me updated. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's been awesome to stay in touch with you for a number of years. We were talking before we started recording today. It's been 7 years since you graduated from the College of Idaho.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been that long. We filled up all the years.
So you competed at the College of Idaho in swimming, in cross country and track and field from, I believe, 2013 to 2017, and were super busy as a student athlete there, and also in the exercise science degree program, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
So first of all, I think what's going to be neat for our audience is to hear how you arrived at College of Idaho. You're from Beatrice, Zimbabwe, and it's a really kind of a neat story on how you arrived at College of Idaho.
Yeah, it's super unique. I'm really lucky the way I got there and that I got there. And I'm so glad it happened the way it did. But yeah, I was applying, looking for schools over in the States, kind of more just for the opportunities over here. And I come from a small country, and my parents were really amazing at supporting us I have one brother, and they supported both of us to kind of leave and spread our wings and find out what the rest of the world is like, which was pretty cool. And I mean, I didn't know where to look. America's a big place. So I put all my stuff on, College Search, College Board. And it asks you what you're looking for, what type of school, how big, that sort of stuff. And I kind of put all my interests in, what I kind of wanted to study, all the things. And the University of Idaho came up, and I immediately was like, I don't know where Idaho is. So I Googled Idaho, and the first thing that comes up is the Stanley Mountains, the Sawtooths over there. And I was just blown away. I come from small town, flatland, Zimbabwe. And I was like, oh, I should go to the mountains, and they grow potatoes there, which my dad does. I think this would be the place. So then I started applying to the University of Idaho and some other schools too, and got my acceptance letter. And then was actually talking to Pat McCurry, who was the college coach at the College of Idaho at the time. And he got my email, and he was like, Emily, are you trying to get in contact with someone at the University of Idaho or the College of Idaho? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And so I quickly went back on my emails, and I'd got accepted at the College of Idaho without even knowing it existed, and not the University of Idaho. And ended up going to the College of Idaho. It kind of excited me that it was a small school. They didn't offer what I wanted to study, but I was like, I'll figure it out. I didn't want to just be a number in a big school, especially traveling a million miles away from home. It ended up being the best mistake I ever made.
What a great story. And the fact that your father grew potatoes and you're in potato country.
Yep.
So, Emily, when you got to the College of Idaho, you obviously immersed yourself in the environment. Again, you were on the swim team, you ran track and field, you ran cross country, all American, all Cascade Conference academic. You were our champion of character winner your senior year, which is a great honor. It was an honor for us to award you that. Talk a little bit about those 4 years at the College of Idaho and the experience that you had with Coach McCurry and the program.
Yeah, I mean, I lucked out. I was kind of an impatient arrival because Pat had wanted to talk to me one-on-one before we decided if I was going to be a good fit for the cross team or the track team. And I, you know, was there from a different country, didn't know anyone. And he was busy with preseason stuff with the team. And I really wanted to connect with the team, you know, growing up in sports. I was like, this is the way I can meet people and get to know everyone. So I ended up meeting with the swim coach, Christine Mabiel. And she was like, please come swim for us. So then I was like, okay, I can get on the team right away. And then I met with Pat and he was like, I don't know, you're a freshman trying to do two sports. Maybe let's sit out for the first cross season. And then if you still want to run, come out for track practice in the spring. I was there at 7 a.m. for track practice, first day of practice. I loved it. The whole experience of C of I, it's an incredible school. You know, we were students before we were athletes, so everyone played as hard as they worked. Super high standard of academics and sporting performance, but very well supported in every sense of the word, and just doors in every direction. I think if I'd gone to a bigger school, you know, U of I probably wouldn't have even been able to get on a team, let alone three teams. I had one-on-one meetings every single week with Pat to talk about training, which I don't think you get at big schools. I felt like the program is very much directed at individual as much as we're a team and we do the same workouts. We're not all forced to run like the same times or same paces, or, you know, we're all at different levels, which is kind of cool. So it's very unique to the person. And that's what swimming was like too. So felt very cared for, and that kind of encouraged my studies too. And what I ended up doing and do now, I coach as well. And having that personal journey, that is, you know, it gets everyone in the sport to perform at their best and not feel like you have to do a million miles a week or something to be able to perform at a high level. You can stay healthy and hopefully be doing this forever and ever. I mean, like we said, I graduated 7 years ago. I'm still running and swimming each week. And so that's, you know, at least 11 years of being a competitive athlete at a high level, which has been really exciting. And I know a lot of athletes too that are doing the same thing out of the Cascade Conference.
So Emily, the College of Idaho programs had success prior to your arrival, but mm-hmm. your group really kind of kickstarted this level of excellence that we see continues even today. How excited were you to see the cross country team win nationals last year?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a work in progress. From following the journey there, like the morning of, we're texting Austin and Dom, and we're all as excited. I think the whole Yote fam was like on the start line with the girls because we've been trying to win that title for a long time. And all the nervous energy, all the excitement was there with them. And when they won and were celebrating, we all kind of felt like we played a little part in putting a step in the road to get to that point. Obviously, they did amazing. They did all the hard work. But it was really, really special. And I'm pretty sure we all cried. I know I definitely did. That was amazing. And all the girls performed so well.
Yeah, and it was special to be able to hand that trophy to them at Fort Vancouver, where we hosted, as you know. And you're right, your class and the classes right before yours and leading up to last year really built that foundation of that program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Pat and Dom and Austin all did such incredible work, and Mike Anderson, to have a group of coaches like that with the dream in mind for all those years was pretty amazing to see it come together.
So three sports at College of Idaho. You still are competitive, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the amazing stuff that you're doing currently in athletics. But was there one of those three that you really gravitated to more than the other that was your favorite?
Cross was my favorite. I obviously it's a distance event. Maybe I like that a little more, and every course is a little different. But the whole team environment for me was the biggest thing. Pat's very much, process goals, but we're all a team, and we all bring different things to the table. And that really shows up in a cross meet too. You never step up to the line thinking like, oh, how am I going to do today? It's not how are we going to do? What can we do together? What part can I play? How can I support someone next to me? And that's been like, that was just amazing to have that opportunity. I love being on a team and to be able to step up to the start line and cross finish lines with my teammates was, yeah, the best. I loved cross. I loved the cross season. It was a special experience to be out there with my Lady Oats.
And we've talked a little bit or mentioned Pat McCurry. Pat was the former coach at College of Idaho, coached you and number of other of All-Americans and national champions, etc. What a lineage of coaching, because he also coached Austin Bastiarchia, who became the coach. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about Pat. I know he's still in your corner as one of your coaches, but talk about that coach athlete relationship that you have with Pat.
Yeah, Pat is incredibly diligent and like personable too. Like he would plan everything out. We always gave him a hard time, but he'd plan everything out down to the minutes. Like he would give us a sheet for when we were traveling, to a meet or something, and he'd have everything timed out. Like, we're gonna leave at this time, get to wherever EOU at this time, do our stretches and then start the race at this time, and then we're gonna drive home and pull into the parking lot at 2 o'clock in the morning. Literally at 1:59 we'd be driving into the parking lot. And that was just Pat. He was so organized, and that really helped kind of guide the organization of the team, and that's what we felt like drew us forward too. He was a very good leader, very good at keeping us together, but also the person we could turn to, if anything went wrong. My sophomore year, so my first year of cross, right before conference, I got an injury, put my hips out, and couldn't really walk. And I just walked in his office, and I cried in front of him for like an hour, and he like cried with me, and like we tried to figure out a plan, and obviously I couldn't do conference or nationals that year, but like felt so supported that I didn't feel like I needed to step back or I wasn't worthy. Like, we had a whole team to carry us through, and I felt like I was there the whole time. And Pat was so good about that, and still is today. I lucked out. So after he left C of I, Austin took over, and I had Austin for a couple years, I think a year. And then I coached with Austin too once I graduated for a year. And Austin brought the same energy Pat did. Obviously, like being groomed by Pat was really, really good. But Austin also had his own fire and own energy. And we had such a great group of coaches, which was really, really fun. So I didn't have Pat for a while. And then a couple years after I graduated, 2021. So I graduated in 2017, and 2021, he had started his own coaching business, and I was looking for a strength coach, and I'd used all his strength routines throughout, college, and then continued on using them after college, but I need a little more guidance. And so we connected, and now he is my strength coach and a cool part of my team. I just had a call with him this morning to talk about, some little key specifics and any niggles or anything. He's a wizard at what he does.
Yeah. So let's fast forward a little bit and talk about what you're doing now athletically. I don't fully understand it, so you'll have to explain it a little bit. But the best way I can describe it is extreme running or ultra running, and it's great distances and really some crazy terrain as well.
Yes, I am a professional trail runner. I do all the distances, so anything from, 5K up to 107 miles so far. I love it. The more I can be in the mountains, the better. So the biggest races, the 107 miles, is over in France. Well, you start in France, but then you run through Switzerland and Italy, all around the Mont Blanc Massive, the big mountain over there. And so all the terrain through the night, through the day, whatever. It's been really, really fun, and I've dabbled in some sky running too for the first couple of years, which is all exposed ridgelines and technical terrain, which is really cool. There's not usually a trail, which is fun. I love it. It's
Wow.
amazing. It is such a journey, and it's definitely, it's really fun.
So you're a professional trail runner, and you were out of the States for a little while, but now you've returned. You have a visiting athlete visa, and you're back in the States and you're training. Talk a little bit about what it, you know, what does that look like to be a professional trail runner? What's your day like?
So I haven't actually left the States, which has been amazing. I went to grad school and then managed to get on a work experience visa, and then just recently got my professional athlete visa. It's really fun. I get to train a lot, but luckily for us, we can't train too much. For runners, we have to take as much recovery time as we do put into training. I coach to a lot of aspects go into being a professional athlete. I have a sponsor, Adidas Terex, and some requirements by them too, like go to photo shoots or do podcasts like we're doing right now. Training, starts in the morning when I wake up, making sure I'm getting a good breakfast in, and then I can have a session or just like a little swim shakeout or just a strength routine from Pat. And then I'll have one like main session during the day. Usually I always have a recovery day where I don't do very much, which is nice. All the recovery, ice baths, all the things we learned in college, I still use today, all my strength routines. Every day is different, but every day is exciting. I love it, and I have a big group of athletes too. Well, a small group, but then I'm also coaching this group of rangers over in Africa right now. And I just put together like 3 weeks of training for them. There's a lot of little things, and it's really, really great. And
Yeah.
then I get to travel a bunch too and explore and travel for races and stay with the team.
So in some of the stuff I've seen that you've posted online and following you in your races, you always reference this team of people that are helping you, which I'm guessing are, you know, people like Pat and maybe a nutritionist or somebody who's helping you with your racing. Talk about what's that team look like, and are most of them with you daily, or are these people like Pat where you're interacting with them from a distance?
So I have actually a really small team. Obviously, I have my sponsorship team. And teammates, which is really cool. We're a little different from other teams. We don't just wear the same gear and race. We'll show up to events early and live together and make food together and things like that. But generally, we're on all parts of the world in all different directions. So my core group is actually just my running coach, Paul Lind, and my strength coach, Pat McCurry. Which I really like too. Like, they're really good friends and both good friends of mine. And so I feel like we can be very open and honest with each other and, you know, gain wisdom from each other and all of that. I try and have a call with each of them at least once a week, and a lot of it is done through an app called Training Peaks. You know, they schedule everything, or with Pat, he's an Excel guy. So I have everything planned and then do it. And then in the evenings, like, write up how it went for Training Peaks, upload it from my watch. For Excel, just write a comment to say, hey, done, this is how I felt, niggles or anything, just so Pat can get an idea, Paul can get an idea how things are going. And yeah, if needed, we'll meet up or have a call to check in fully.
Well, and you've had great success so far. You've won some races, you've been runner up in some races. What's been the most fulfilling race that you've had? And then also, what's been the most challenging?
Well, those are good questions. I love the journey and I love like every race. I feel like I learn so much from each race, if it's success or, you know, something doesn't go so right. All the races are so different. It's so hard to like pick. but my race coming up, Western States, I've done it the past 3 years, and last year was just an incredible day. Like, had such a great race and it was a cool year. You ran, you know, my fastest time on it. And then followed that up in Chamonix, France at the UTMB CCC, which is the 100K course out there, and managed to get the runner-up position out there and kind of again had a like flawless day, which was exciting too, and just carrying that wisdom to continue forward. Yeah, and the challenging days, there's all in an ultra, you always have a challenging moment. So even on those great days, I had some lows or, you know, cried some tears or whatever. In 2021, I was trying to get a ticket to be able to race the 100-miler I'm racing now, or coming up, called Western States. And to be able to get a golden ticket, you have to finish first or second in a few races. And that year I was racing, there were 3 golden ticket races. The first two were 5 weeks apart, and then the second and third one were, I think, 6 weeks apart or something. And then it was 6 weeks, I think, until Western States. And I ended up racing all 3 of the golden ticket races because I kept missing it, missing the spot. So the first race I got third, so missed it by one. The second race I got seventh, so missed it by a bunch, but learned a bunch in that time too. Took a fall and learned like how to recover from things like that, or you know, just recover between big races. And the fall was hard because I think I'd stepped up, you know, already missing the ticket in the first race. And then knowing if I didn't get it in this race, I'd have to step up pretty soon again. And that, yeah, I mean, I think that mentally was a tough one, but my heart was so in it that made it like possible to keep being excited to go get it. Yeah.
So the Western States is 100-miler?
Yep.
And when is that? And tell me a little bit about the terrain of that race.
Yeah, so it's on the 29th of June this year. And we start up in Olympic Valley, which is Tahoe region, you know, in the Sierras. And we run all the way down to Auburn. So it's a net downhill race, but there's some big canyons in it. So if you look at the elevation profile, it starts up high, but it starts with a 3-mile climb, and then a big down, and then you go through like 4 canyons. Wow. And then you have a long down right into the river section, which I think is, yeah, kind of, you know, near the lowest elevation. And then you have a big climb up again, another 3 miles up, I can't remember, 1,000 feet up, and then it's kind of flat and rolly to the end, so for the last 20 miles. Yeah, which is really
That's it. The last 20 miles are slow
Yeah,
and
I
rolly.
know. That's a brief overview. That's a terrain. I mean, there's a little bit of everything, which is kind of cool. A little bit of technical, but some also smooth trails and a lot of heat. It's usually a hot race. Last year we had a cool race, but it was 85, was considered cool.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So, what time in the day does that start, and how long does something like that take you to run?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So Western State starts at 5 a.m. and they have a 30-hour cutoff. So the next morning at 10 a.m. or yeah, 11. And that final hour is pretty exciting. Like it's the golden hour, and you have people coming in desperately trying to make that cutoff time. It's super inspiring. Yeah, I mean, we say that for 100 miles, but then I ran 100 miles over in that race I was telling you in France. And so my first year, the Western States took 19 and a half hours, and the UTMB race took 28 and a half hours.
Wow.
So just diff completely different races. I mean, UTMB is 7 miles longer, but just completely different on how much time they take. And UTMB, you start at 6 p.m. in the evening, so you run all the way through the night too. And go into the next one.
Talk about extreme sport, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, I had such a pleasure to meet your parents your senior year when they came over to the States at I think it was conference championship and maybe even nationals. And I know that they're heavily involved, certainly love what you're doing, and even I'm guessing maybe even travel sometimes to watch you.
Yeah, I mean, I owe my parents everything. I love how they encourage us to be involved in sports and have given me so many opportunities and supported me. And my mom's coming over to support me here in a few weeks. My dad wanted to come, but he just had a full right hip replacement. So he's excused. But
He's
he's
home
doing really
recovering.
good. Yeah. But it's amazing. He just had his hip replacement, and a week later, I was just on the phone with him and saw him walking to the kitchen. And I haven't seen him walk like that in years. Like, no crutches or anything, just a week later after a hip replacement. It was
That's
amazing.
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really, really cool people, and so neat that your mom's coming over to see you.
Yeah.
So Emily, what's next in the progression for you? I mean, certainly you're going to want to try to do this as long as you can and as long as your body will allow you to do it, but I know you and I know you have plans. So what are the things that you're looking forward to down the road as your professional career peaks and then possibly coaching or what are the things that you're looking to do?
Yeah, so on the athlete side, like you said, I hope I can do this until I'm like 90. So I hope I never have to leave it. And as much as maybe I should say I don't really have plans, because if I could do more of the same, that'd be great. I love it. I love what I get to do, and just being consistent, being able to compete at the front of the field and be healthy and strong and loving what I do, that's kind of the core of the whole adventure for me. So yeah, more of the same. Explore more places and meet more people. It'd be fun. Yeah, I coach already. I went to grad school for high altitude exercise physiology coaching. Oh, well, exercise physiology for grad school. And I use that every day, not only in my own training, but with my athletes too. And that's been really exciting. So I feel like I already do the things I love in parallel. And yeah, keeping that in the circulation is great too. And I learned so much from my athletes, and love, sharing the journey. I always have messages in my inbox or on my phone to answer from other people too, not my athletes, asking about running and or the idea of movement, which is pretty special. And I feel like we're involved in a very exciting field that's just continuing to grow. like I know you see it in college sports and things like that, but as people graduate and get older, and there's so many opportunities to learn about the human body and mind and spirit, and movement seems to be such a positive thing for everybody, and getting more people outside and to enjoy our beautiful world has been pretty special. So hopefully I get to continue to inspire people to do that.
What a great way to be able to spend your life. I should know this, but enlighten me a little bit. Is this something that is potentially might be added to an Olympic schedule at some point in time? I don't think it is now. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, so it's not on the schedule yet, but there have been there's been talks about it. It's just a hard one because, like I said, trail running, you know, is anything from a K up to 200 miles, but then you also have these multi-day events. And so it's just kind of hard to pick an event. They'd probably pick something between 20K and 50K, let's say, to put in the Olympics, but it's not there yet.
Not there yet, but there has been some talk of it.
Yeah. And we'll see. I mean, didn't they put cricket in recently? And
yeah, there seems to be always new sports that are entered into the Olympics as either exhibition or trial sport or something like that. So it seems like it might be a natural.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'll be exciting to see what comes of it. It is kind of exciting in the trail running world right now in itself. We're trying to, you know, figure that kind of stuff out too. We have a ton of events, and the UTMB week is kind of our pinnacle and the championship where everyone comes to. So we're trying to kind of navigate the speed bumps that come with that, and you know, drug testing and all of those things that come into a sport then again too, as a sport grows, which is kind of, yeah, it's cool.
And is the championship built off of a point system on races throughout the year, or is it, hey, show up at this race, and if you win it, you're the champion?
Yeah, so that's been kind of interesting. It's kind of changed even since I started. We've gone through a couple different phases, but right now, obviously, the Pinnacle Race is a business too, so they have come up with this series of events where you can get tickets to go into their lottery system, and then if your name gets pulled, you get to run in the final, and then obviously, to keep the competition high too, they have kind of elite ways to get in as well. So if you race certain races, then and you finish in the top three or the top 10 position, you get an automatic entry into the final, which is kind of, yeah. So they have this whole program kind of worked up, and then you show up and then you compete.
That's great. Well, Emily, we're so grateful that you took some time out of your schedule to join us. We will be watching you in the Western States June 29th, and we wish you well, and we will continue to follow you from the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rob, and to the Cascade Conference, thank you for, being the grounding point of this whole journey, too. It was such a fun part of my life being involved in the Cascade Conference, and if I tell anyone where to go to college, it's always a NAIA school.
Love it. College of Idaho, NAIA, University of Idaho, somewhere in there.
Somewhere.
Well, thank you. On behalf of Courtney Blumer, our director, this has been Rob Cashel and Emily Hoggood for Cascade Connects.
On behalf of director Courtney Blumer and host Robert Cashel, thanks for tuning in to Cascade Connects, the official podcast of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, 15 championships, and over 3,000 student athletes. This is the CCC.